Parshas Balotcha, major theme is the Grand March into Eretz Yisrael. And within this structure, we find the laws of the Chatzotzros, the laws of the trumpets that were blown to tell the people it's time to move, breaking the camp, and to move on. Within the laws of the trumpets, we find the following pasuk. The sons of Aaron, the Kohanim, shall sound the trumpets, and it shall be for you an eternal decree for your generations. So not only where the trumpets sounded when they moved camp, but the trumpets are l'dor sechem, forever. When? So we find two psukim, pasuk ten and yod. When you go to wage war in your land against an enemy who oppresses you, you shall sound short blasts of the trumpets, and you shall be recalled before Hashem your God, and you shall be saved from your foes. So going out to war was one time when the trumpets were blown, as well as on your day of gladness, and on your festivals, and on your new moons, you shall sound the trumpets over your elevation offerings, and over your feast peace offerings, and they shall be remembered for you before your God, I am Hashem your God. And here, the Chazal tell us, on the day of your gladness, so the days of the festivals and your new moon is clear, what's the day of gladness? So 1b, the trumpets were sounded with the conjunction, the communal elevation and peace offerings of the Shabbat. Yom Simchatchem, the Medrash says, is Shabbos. We need to understand in what way Shabbos is connected to Simcha. There is no mitzvah of being happy on Shabbos. We need to understand this. We need to also understand that these trumpets are supposed to be an eternal decree for your generations. Well, we don't have the trumpets today. In what way are they eternal? Those are secondary questions. The primary question we need to ask seems to be, at face value, a very technical question of the Rambam, on the Rambam rather. But when we look at it a little bit more deeply, we will see it's really a fundamental question. And it's this question we'd like to look at in Yirtzeh Hashem on two levels and see how it relates to our lives. The Rambam, we know, lists 613 mitzvot. Very different listing of the mitzvot. The Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvot, source number 2, mitzvah nun tet, mone inyan ha-chatzotros l'mitzvah achat. He links both of these two psukim together as one mitzvah. V'arav ha-magi tamalav sheklalam b'mitzvah achat v'lama lo manu b'shtei mitzvot shem b'et psukim. The question on the Rambam is a very obvious question. Why does the Rambam link them together when, after all, they're two separate psukim and they're two separate times? You blow the shofros, the trumpets, when, the chatzotros, when there's a time of war. That's a time of tzara, a time of challenge. That's one mitzvah. And then you blow the trumpets at a time of simcha, a time of good tidings, a time of yontif. That's a separate mitzvah. Just like the Rambam lists every time that you're not allowed to do malacha on yontif, each one has a separate malacha. And the blowing of the shofar in Yovel and the blowing of shofar Rosh Hashanah has two separate mitzvahs. Why does the Rambam link these two psukim into one mitzvah? So obviously, if the Rambam is going to link them together, there must be something that connects them together. And the question that we have to ask ourselves is what indeed connects them together, what on a, not a halachic level, but on a philosophical level, what is driving perhaps the Rambam to link them together? I'd like to take a look at this on two levels. The first level, the Moshe brings down, Rav Scheinerman, the Sefer Chinuch. The Sefer Chinuch writes, or three b'shar shei ha-mitzvah, v'zel shana. A person is very physical, and it needs a tremendous amount to wake a person up. If we don't have something waking us up, certain lethargy and apathy sets in. What is something that's powerful to wake a person up? It's kolot hanigun, it's the music. We know that the chatzotzot trumpets are a very loud sound. They have the ability to wake a person up from being caught in the skei halam, in the ways of this world, and thinking that things are in a natural system, and being able to stop and recognize that a Kadosh Baruch Hu exists. And that's why it's important to, particularly at the time of war, to blow the trumpets, because Eif Charlotte Sleep B'Mechama V'Bli She'atzim L'Toch Libo Kol Yanim Shalom B'Koach V'Lo B'Chayel. One needs to remember, particularly when going out to war, that it's not one's own prowess and intelligence and strength that's enabling a person to win, but rather HaKadosh Baruch Hu is who saves us. So what do both of them have in common? It's really found within the Pesukim themselves. You shall be recalled before Hashem, and they shall be remembered for you before Hashem. Both of them are about being remembered before Hashem, and obviously us remembering Hashem. And that's the link between both of these mitzvahs. Let's try to understand this a little bit more deeply. Clearly in war, and this is true, the Rambam, Rabbi Leff brings down in source number 4, the Rambam in Hilchos Taniyot says, there's a positive commandment in the Torah to cry out and sound the trumpet for any calamity that befalls the community. And this is an aspect of repentance for when a misfortune occurs and they cry out and sound the alarm, or realize that because of the sinful actions that befell them, and if they do not cry out, but rather say it's about an act of nature, and this was fortunate, but an accident, a random occurrence, this is a manner of cruelty and causes them to continue their sinful ways. Rabotai, any time a challenge comes upon us, and now, unfortunately, we're living one after the other, whether it's Corona, whether it's now the riots, when misfortune hits upon us, the response has to be, wake up, and be able to do tshuva. Wake up and realize that this is a HaKadosh Baruch Hu shaking us and saying, it's time to become different. It's time to improve. And if we don't do that, then there's a certain amount of kriros, a certain amount of coldness. And we think, oh, this happened, and then that happened. And then we lack the understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved. And that's why it was so important to be able to sound the trumpets, because the trumpets are a clear wake-up call that these things are not accidental, these things are clearly from the Ribbono Shel Olam, and our job, it behooves us to wake up and to do tshuva. If it's clear in the war that it's about waking up and being able to see Hashem and be able to improve our ways, this idea of connection, which is really what both have in common, being able to connect ourselves to Hashem, is also the clear motif of the Yom Simchatchem, of Shabbos, of Yontif and Rosh Chodesh. And for the purposes of this shir, we'll just focus in on Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh. We're going to really leave Yontif out for now, albeit it's very much connected. So the question we had asked originally is, since when does Shabbos become a day of Simcha? Shabbos is a day of many things. It's an oath, it's a sign, it's a brit, it's a covenant. But there's no command to be happy, like v'samachta b'chagecha, you should rejoice in your festivals on Shabbos. So the Nesiv HaShalom, Lord's words are very profound insight. And he says, we know on the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim of Sener, Ena Benot Zion, B'mel Shlomo, B'tarash Yitra Lo Imo, and obviously the King Shlomo here is not just the Shlomo down here, it's the King HaMel Shalom Shalom, referring to Hashem. The day that he got crowned, B'yom Chatunato, the day of his marriage, or B'yom Simchat Libo, the day of his rejoicing. And Chazal asks, well, what is a reference to B'yom Chatunato, and what day did Hashem Kivyachul get married? That's Mamad Har Sinai, that's receiving the Torah. U'v'yom Simchat Libo, the day of Hashem's rejoicing, what day is that? That's the day of Hakamas HaMishkan, the day that the Mishkan was established, because that is what the real Simcha of Hashem is about. The real joy of Hashem is the ability to be able to connect it to His people down here. That's B'yom Simchat Libo. And indeed, my friends, V'al Derech Zeh Yesh Lomar in the bracket in 6, V'nogei L'Shabbos Kodesh, Shu Yom Simchatchem B'pnei Shu Yom HaYichu B'nkut Shabichu V'Yisrael. What is the day of Shabbos? It's a day of Yichud. It's a day of connection between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore we understand that Shabbos, even though it's not said specifically, you shall be happy on Shabbos, the nature of Shabbos, the motif of Shabbos is Yom Simchatchem. Shomnam e mitzvah shal simcha b'shabbat. You're right, it's a mitzvah of Shabbos. Ach me'etzem ma'uta Shabbos kodesh yom simchatchem. It's yom simcha ilois. It's a higher level of joy that comes from the connection we have with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. As Rav Tzvi Kuchelevsky Shlita in source number 10 points out, that you're not allowed to have avelos, you're not allowed to have open mourning on Shabbos. Why should there be an element of simcha on Shabbos? The fact is that persons cannot succeed in connecting Kedusha without a prior element of simcha. The Gemara teaches that simcha, shechina, does not reside in the context of sadness or laziness, only in context of simcha. Since the mainstay of Shabbos is connecting to Kedusha, simcha is necessary. This might well be a simcha of the soul more than the body, but simcha nevertheless. It's a simcha ilois. It's a higher level of simcha. And hence in source 7, at least by the Ashkenazim, that if there is a major event during the week, whether it's a bris, whether it's a wedding, the Shabbos before, it's the Ufaruf, it's the Shalom Zachar, it's being able to take the Simcha of Shabbos and bring it into the Simcha of the week. That Shabbos is the Makor HaBracha, it's a fountain of blessing, the fountain of joy, that then is able to permeate the entire week. And hence we understand the way Rav Pinkus Hatzal describes in Shabbos Kodesh, what the mitzvah of greeting the Shabbos queen is alike, right? Likrat Shabbos l'chuv adelcha, let's go out and greet the Shabbos queen. So it is with Shabbos Kodesh. It's a main mitzvah in which we develop a personal relationship with Hashem. When we greet Shabbos, we're actually greeting the Shekhinah. Some commentators explain that we say the words Bowie Kala in Lechadodi, the Kala refers to Shabbos, and other people say the Kala refers to the Shekhinah. But the truth is one and the same. Greeting Shabbos is greeting the Shekhinah. When Shabbos begins, we attain such closeness to Hashem in nine that it cannot be expressed in words. So at this exalted moment, we don't talk, we sing. Nothing less will do. Whoever has an attuned ear understands there's no other way to express the Neshama's joy over the coming of Shabbos Kodesh. Shabbos touches the deepest part of us, and that's why, how do we begin Shabbos? L'chu nirana na l'Hashem, let us go and sing to Hashem, Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos. Because Shabbos is about greeting the Shekhinah. Shabbos is about moving outside of ourselves. Shabbos is moving into a different dimension. And hence we can appreciate in Tachli Suah from Bernstein Sefer that the Medrash Rabbati says that the Mahus, the whole essence of Shabbos, source number 11, is Simcha. Vaikadeh Shosom, and you shall sanctify the day. Kitcho b'simcha. You shall sanctify it with joy. And he goes on to say that when Hashem created the world, every single aspect in Source 12 of the Bria, of the creation, sang Shira to Hashem. But what was missing was the entire orchestra of creation singing to Hashem, the entire symphony. So you have the trombone, and you have the frog, and you have the flute, and you have the heavens, and you have different parts. But when the beauty is, not when they play by themselves, but when they play all together, that's the beauty of a symphony. And my friends, that is the day of Shabbos. The day of Shabbos he refers to is Ach Yesh Yom Yuchad Shel Chanukah Sabayis Bo Omdim Kol Nivroim L'Shor L'Yotram. It's like the inauguration when they all sing together. U'B'Simcha B'Shira Zu Omdim Anu B'Chol Shabbos V'Shabbos. And that Chanukah Sabayis, that inauguration, that Shira and Simcha, it's found every Shabbos. That's what Shabbos is about. Shabbos is about being able to awaken within us the Shabbos of creation, the Shabbos of joy, of the symphony, of everyone singing and recognizing and really crowning Hashem as King. And that's really the motif of Shabbos. The Shabbos is the Shekhinah, is being able to make ourselves with this realization that Hashem is the King of the world. And we stop from Malacha, we stop from doing any work, and we're testified to this. That's what Kiddush on Friday night is about. But Kitchub is Simcha. There's a joy that we coronate Hashem as King. This aspect of coronating Hashem as King, this aspect of recognizing that Hashem exists in our world, which is found in war. Stop. Recognize Hashem yilachem lachem v'atem tachrishun. Hashem is fighting for you. You need to be silent. You need to recognize this. Eile berechav, eile masusim. V'anachta b'shem Hashem elokeinu naskir. They go out with their armory and their chariots, and we go out with Hashem. That's the same concept in Shabbos. But we recognize it's not about us. We step out of the picture. And Hashem is the main part of the picture. This nekuda is poured out so beautifully in Ben Melech Rav Mintzberg Zatzal. And he says in Sur 13, Omnam lufit vareinu la'ayu be'ikra mitzvah sachatzrosos yesh lomar sha'af tekiya sachatzrosos b'shas mochaba, the blowing of the shofar in the time of war, yesh bo me'inyan malchus Hashem. To a certain degree, it's about coronating Hashem as King. La'azkir nachuchuto, to recognize His presence, that He is found in the war. And this is, you know, trumpet, dun dun dun, right? It's like coronation. That's to realize when we go out to fight, to bring Hashem into the battlefield, And it's a desire that we hope that Hashem will come and will save us. And he says, therefore, if you had to distill down what is the idea of blowing the shofar, and he says it's so beautiful, the Tavach Chovada Dekiya B'yamim Eluhi Kamur 14, Mishum She'ish Bahem Hofa'a Miyuchedet Shomachus Hashem HaYisrael. So this is a little bit of a deeper understanding of the Sefer HaChinuch. What do they have in common? They have in common being remembered by Hashem and to remember Hashem. The way the Ben Melech is describing this phenomena, it's about Hofa'a Miyuchedet Shomachus Hashem HaYisrael. It is feeling a special presence of Hashem demonstrating His presence down here in this world. That you feel that Hashem has come down here. It's like an intensity of Hashem's presence. Obviously, Melokol Aretz Kvodo, Hashem fills the entire world and Hashem is always here, right? Hashem is here, Hashem is here, Hashem is truly everywhere. But there are times that we feel this with more intensity than other times. So a war is one of those times. Blowing the trumpets is a coronation. We recognize, we bring Hashem down. And likewise, when we bring the sacrifices on Shabbos, on Rosh Chodesh, on Yantif, it's also this recognition that Hashem is found here to a greater degree than during the rest of the week. Truth be told is, as he points out in Source 15 and 16, trumpets were sounded every day when they brought korbanos. Because really, and this is a very deep idea, my friend, every day we should feel a newness, HaMechadish B'tuvah B'chol Yom Tov Ma'aseh Bereishit, that Hashem renews creation every day. That I should feel that I'm alive today because I'm alive today, not because I was alive yesterday. I should feel life. I should feel present. I should feel Hashem's presence with me every single day. Halavai! That's really the goal. So trumpets were blown every single day to remind us that today is a day that Hashem appears to us. Today is a day that you feel Hashem's presence. It's not mentioned explicitly in the Chumash because it's not as grand and as major as when on Yantif and on Shabbos when it becomes even more profound. What the Chumash is bringing down here is the moments of the grandeur and the more profound aspects of the manifestation of Hashem. But truth be told, it's found every single day with the Korbanos. If this is the aspect of the Chatzot Rose, it's feeling Hashem's presence, it's to be remembered and to remind ourselves of Hashem, to be really like, you know, wake up and smell the coffee, like, wow, I really feel it. We can appreciate what it means that we don't have the Chatzot Rose today, what do we have in its place? So there are a number of things that we have in its place, but one of them is Yalla V'Yavo. We know on Rosh Chodesh and on Yantif, if a person doesn't say Yalla V'Yavo in davening, right, before Maldim, you have to go back, right, depends where you are, how far back, go back to Ritzay, if you already finished Manasseh, go back to the beginning of davening. Also in benching, if you forget Yalla V'Yavo, there are a line you can put in instead. Again, different places where you remember you forgot. That's where the halach is. That's not our question for today. Question is, what is so special about Yalla V'Yavo that you have to go back over davening to repeat it? So if you take a look at Yalla V'Yavo, and it's something that, you know, we're so accustomed to say that we never really stop and think about it. But let's look at 17 at the language of Yalla V'Yavo. Yalla V'Yavo Dahainu says Ben Melech Inyana Zikaron L'Tovo She'esh B'Rosh Chodesh. He's talking about Rosh Chodesh, but it's also applicable to Yantar. You know what Yalla V'Yavo is about? It's about asking and concretizing this aspect of remembrance. Yalla V'Yavo, Yalla V'Yavo, let it come, let it go, and let it come, V'Yipakeid, V'Yizdacher, and it should be remembered, Zichroneinu, Figdoneinu, our remembrances. Pikadon is also remembrances. V'Zichron Avoteinu, the remembrances of our fathers. V'Zichron Mashiach ben David Avdecha, the remembrances of David. Do you see the word that repeats itself? You got it. V'Zichron Yushalayim Yerkachecha, and the remembrance of Yushalayim. V'Zichron Kol Amcha Beit Yisrael, and the remembrance of the entire Jewish people. L'Fanecha L'Fleita L'Tova, and then we say, Zachreinu Hashem Elokeinu Bolotava, Hashem remember us for the good. U'Fakdeinu, again, Pakad is to remember us for Bracha. Hareisha kol kula shel tefila zu hizikaron l'tova. You know what the whole tefillah is about? It's the Karol Letova, to remember for the good. If the chatzrosos, if the trumpets were about that we should be remembered in front of Hashem, albeit we don't have the trumpets, but what do we have in its place? We have the tefillah. And what the Yalav Yavo has to do is has to remind us that we need to be remembered in front of Hashem. And when we need to be remembered in front of Hashem, we have to realize that we are standing in front of Hashem to be remembered. And that brings the presence of Hashem down in a much more dramatic type of way. And indeed, he notes, continuing in 17 and 18, that the idea of being remembered on Rosh Chodesh is very much the motif of Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of the new year, whose one of its names is Yom HaZikaron, the Day of Remembrance. And Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Chodesh are really very much the same concept. It's at the beginning of a period of time, you have to stop and almost get off the merry-go-round and realize, hello, what is life about? You have to realize, where is Hashem in this world? And if you recognize that where is Hashem in this world, then you have to ask yourself, well, where are you in relationship to this reality? Are you living up to His expectations? Are you living a life of loyalty to this realization? So on a major period of time, like the beginning of the year, we have Rosh Hashanah, which is a time of remembrance, and we have Yom Kippur, which is a time of forgiveness. In the minuscule aspects of the year, we have really the Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are really connected together. Erev Rosh Chodesh is called the Yom Kippur Katan, and in our Rosh Chodesh davening, we ask for that it should be L'Kapara, as a forgiveness. Every month, we have to stop and take an accounting, and we have to realize where we are, why we are where we are, and this is the challenge and the calling and the first level. So my friends, this is pretty easy. What are the two have in common that the Rambam perhaps linked them together? The answer is to be remembered in front of Hashem, albeit in different circumstances. But the common denominator is, and the mitzvah really is, to blow the chatzotzot. The mitzvah really is, blow the chatzotzot to remember before Hashem. Then, there are two, you know, parts to that. Remember before Hashem in times of war. Remember in front of Hashem in times of joy. Shabbos, Yontif, Rosh Chodesh. The underlying message of both of them is that both are times of Hatarat Hamlochas Hashem, of crowning Hashem as King, and when we crown Hashem as King, we have to stop, take pause, be able to introspect, and realize if Hashem is King, then where am I? And I have to realize in war it's about Hashem who's leading things, and in times of challenge and trouble to know that it's not by accident things are happening, and in times of joy to be able to feel Hashem's special presence, to say Yalav Yavo, Zachreinu Latova, Zachreinu, Zachreinu, that we should be remembered. The second level is a little bit more complex and a little bit more challenging. The Lekach Alibov notes in 21, David HaMelech in Kapitel Kuf Aleph 101, first verse says, L'David Mizmor, to David there's a song, Chesed U'Mishpat Ashiralach. In times of kindness and in times of justice, I will sing to you. The Hen Kasher Kodesh Baruch Hu Osa Chesed, whether Hashem does kindness to us, Hen Kasher Kodesh Baruch Hu Osa Din U'Mishpat, and at times when Hashem does strict justice with us, B'Shneihem Yesh Lo Midat Hishtavut, in both of them, we equate them together, V'Shneihem Mevi'im Osa Lidei Shira, and both of them bring David HaMelech to sing in front of Hashem. V'yesh lomar shezein yon ha-chatzotzot shikli shira. And that's what the chatzotzot are about. They are the medium of singing shira to Hashem. The chatzotzot are an instrument of singing. And therefore, my friends, we see that the chatzotzot were used in times of challenge, whether it's war, times of calamity, and it was used at times of festivals, times of Rosh Chodesh, because in both Hayah Karab and Agada Barev and Tachlis Hashlemus, we know that Hashem is leading us in both times. She'elam Chatzoso Shayadeim Amru Shira Hinal Chesavim Ala Mishpat. When they blew the Chatzotot, they were blowing, they were singing Shira to Hashem, and they're praising Hashem for both the challenges as well as the salvation. Umemele Muvan in the second bracket of 21, and now we understand Kishneim Mitzvah Achad. They're really the one and the same mitzvah. Ki Yesod Shneihem Hu Achad. They're really at core one. V'hainu Shiro L'Kadosh Baruch Hu. What's the mitzvah? The mitzvah is not just to be remembered in front of Hashem. It's much deeper than that. The mitzvah is the chatzotzros. On the one hand, the chatzotzros are about what they cause us to wake up and remember Hashem. And deeper than that, the chatzotzros themselves are not what they lead to, but what they are. They are the means of a musical instrument to sing Shira to Hashem. Heim b'matzav shel simcha v'heim b'matzav shel tzara, in all different types of situations. Ve'ish archiv ha'dvarim yoter, ki'inyan ha'tzara v'inyan ha'simcha shneihem me'orim lev ha'adam. Continuing 22 in the bracket, both experiences of challenge and experiences of joy awaken a person l'idehi drakshu salem. It awakens a person. And obviously, the goal of this awakening is to come close to Kadosh Baruch Hu. The goal of this awakening is to make changes. Corona did that in an incredible way. Stop. You know, things you take for granted, like going to the supermarket. You think four times, do I really need to go? What do I really need? Right. Going to school, everything is rethought. And now with the riots, it's another layer of, can we take security for granted? Can we take anything for granted? Is there peace? Is there stability? When these things are happening to us, they shake us up. That's what the chatzrotzos are about. It's about shaking us up in order to have Shira, which is the Inyan Yisrael Mosan Nefesh Vitzkar V'Slakadosh Baruch Hu. How do we sing Shira? When we change, when we make decisions that we are going to be a little bit different because of what's going on. And when I'm able to make those differences, when I'm able to listen to the sounds around me, those are the sounds of Shira. Those are the sounds of singing songs to Kadosh Baruch Hu. As the Maggid points out in 23, Chatzotzros comes from the word, really two words, of chatzitzura, a half a form. We are a half a form. What the chatzotzros need to do is to be able to awake in us the ability to connect to the other half, the other tzura, which is obviously the Ribono Shel Olam. And that is the idea, chatzitzura umitachdim kivyochol kuchabrichu liyod echad, to connect with Hashem, to be one. The point when God does kindness to us, as well as when God treats us in more strict justice, it's one and the same message. And that's closeness to Hashem. The Chaim Moshe echoes this idea. And he says, really, truth be told is, we really should be saying the bracha of atova meitiv, of the bracha we say for good things, even on bad news. We're not on that level. We're not holding there yet. However, that is the goal, to be able to have chesed umishpat ashira lach, to be able to take everything as connection to Hashem, to be able to be ma'orer et adam l'simcha v'gila, to awaken a person to recognize that whatever Hashem does is for the good, and to be able to connect to that reality. Let's put this into our own language. War, disease, riots, all of these things that plague us are clearly mishpat. They're clearly aspects of justice, right? Unfortunately, we've seen this, the loss of life, the loss of property, the loss of money, the loss of parnasa. It's incredible. The beauty in looking at this formula is to be able to see that chesed u'mishpat ashira, it's not just that there's chesed and there's mishpat. There's kindness and there's justice. And I have to sing to Hashem in both. The real challenge, and that's what I'd like to spend the next few minutes understanding, is that the chesed and the mishpat are intertwined together. That we see, and we've seen this, my friend, so clearly, that even in a time of mishpat, even in a time of justice, we've seen so much chesed that has come out among people. We've seen people who, whether it's the plasma donors that the Orthodox Jews have come out in droves, chesed, whether it's people who are homebound, that organizations are sprouting up to send them food, to send them plants, to reach out to these people. Within the mishpat, within the strict justice, we see over and over again chesed. We see that there is this theme, that it brings out a tremendous amount of chesed among Klal Yisrael. The way we wake up is recognizing the chesed that we are able to do. So it's not just that I look at mishpat and that's it. I have to be able to see that in the mishpat, there's a tremendous amount of chesed that we do, and what's perhaps a little bit more challenging, but equally important, is to see in the mishpat the amount of chesed Hashem does for us. And that in very difficult and trying situations, I'm able to see the silver lining in all of this. I'm able to see the goodness in all of this. To be able to see that chesed u'mishpat ashira lach, that they're really not two separate things. They're really one and the same. That everything Hashem does is good. Sometimes it's manifested in an overt way called chesed. Sometimes it comes across in a mishpat-oriented way. But we have to recognize that all of Hashem's mishpat, there's a tremendous amount of chesed. And we have to look for that chesed. And I'll tell you a little secret, my friends. As far as say, to the extent that you look for that chesed, to that extent you'll be able to draw down even more chesed. So the more we're able to sing praises to Hashem in the challenging times, the more we're opening up the tzinor, the pathway, for more and more chesed, more and more goodness, to overt goodness, to be seen in our lives. Let's take a look on the other side, though, and that's where we'll spend the time now. Let's take a look at Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh, which are times of simcha, times of joy, that you also see them as times where we can be able to appreciate not only the chesed of Hashem, but to have a deeper understanding of the mishpat of Hashem as well. Rav Chaim Friedlander Zatzal, Siftei Chaim, points out, he says that 27, Shleimus Habriya Kamiksha Chat, to see the world, as we spoke about, that total symphony, Al Kol Chalkei HaTovim V'Ara'im, all aspects of creation, good and what we call bad, Shemar Torato Gilui V'Ribui Kvod Hashem Ba'Olam, brings about revelation of Hashem in this world, came into fruition on Shabbos Breishi. When all the creation stopped, you're able to look back and you're able to see how the entire world is really good. Shabbos, the Zohar says, is Raza Te'echa, is a secret of oneness, where you have the Yichud Hashem, the oneness of Hashem, where you're able to see that the whole world in totality is about God's goodness. And that's why Shabbos is Mayin Olam Haba. Shabbos is a taste of the next world. Because when we look down in this world, we see things in the black and white sense of good and bad. When you're able to see things from a different perspective, a perspective of above time and place, you're able to see how it fits into the totality of creation and how all that happens, even though we don't understand it, ultimately is for the good. Gam Zulatova, this too adds up to the totality of good, even though in its own right, it doesn't feel so good. And hence we can appreciate in 28, why the Birkas Kriyat Shema, the first bracha of Kriyat Shema on Shabbos, has as its main motif and word the word Hakol. Hakol Yaducha, Hakol Yishabchucha, Hakol Yom Ruei Kadosh. Hakol, everything. Because Shabbos is about Hakol. Shabbos is about totality. Shabbos is about seeing perspective. Shabbos is able to step back and be able to say, ah, now I get it. Now I understand what had to happen, when it had to happen, how to happen, in order for this chesed to happen. And had it not happened in this way, it never would have been manifested in this way. Shabbos gives us that Hakol perspective, the perspective of totality. And this explains as well, Rav Pinkus, we've done this a number of times in Shabbos Kodesh, of what it means to light Shabbos candles. Lighting Shabbos candles is really not just about lighting, you know, these little oil wicks or candles, whatever it is. It's really about turning on the light onto the world. Tashay Choshech, the world is a world of darkness. This world is called a darkness. And in darkness, it's hard to make out anything. The example Rav Pinkus gives in 29, as he says, what is darkness? Let's say a man enters the Beis Medrash in the middle of the night to look for a certain Gemara. Electricity is off, there's no moonlight, it's totally dark. He starts to feel along the walls with his hands trying to figure out what part of the bookcase he's near, but he can't find the sefer he's looking for. Would it be correct to say that when it became dark that evening, all the books simply flew out the window and now there's nothing there? Surely not. The books are all there, right in front of his eyes, in the asterisks, just as they are in the middle of the day. It's just that in the dark, he doesn't see what's right there in front of him. This demonstrates to us the difference between light and dark is not whether something exists or not. What is there in the light is there in the dark too. The difference has only to do with the person. In the dark, he can't see what's there. This world is dark, and the next world is light. The truth is that the Olam Haba is right here now, spread out right in front of us. The whole difference between this world and the next world is that in Olam Haba, a person sees the truth, while in here, in this world, the darkness conceals it. My friends, when we light Shabbos candles, we're lighting that light. We're getting that glimpse. It's a flicker. It's a glimpse into Main Olam Haba, into the world of clarity, into the world that everything that happens, even the parts we don't understand, are all part of a larger plan. And they all speak about God's godliness. So on Shabbos, which is clearly a day of Chesed, it's a day that I have an understanding of Mishpat. I have an understanding of justice. And to see that Chesed u'Mishpat Ashira. And hence in Source 31 and 32, what is the Mizmor for Shabbos? What's the Psalm for Shabbos? It's Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos. It's the Mizmor of L'Yom HaShabbos. Now take a look at the Mizmor. You take a look at the Psalm, and there is no mention of Shabbos. Tov lahodos Hashem, it's good to give thanks to Hashem. And then it talks about good and evil in this world. It talks about refroch reshaim kamo esev, that the wicked people prosper. And it talks about tzadikah tamar yifrach, and it talks about the tzadik. And it talks about having lahagi baboker chastecha, to having faith in the morning, v'emunascha balelos, and having faith at night, to be able to see Hashem's chesed in the day when things are clear, and to hold on to that faith at night when things are dark. What does this have to do with Shabbos? Notes the Maharal, it has everything to do with Shabbos. Because Shabbos is about that understanding that Hashem is running the world. That understanding that things aren't random. And that there's a place for the wicked, there's a place for the righteous, as Mirza Hashem will speak about more next week in Parashat Shlach. And everything has its particular place in this world. And to be able to see the totality of this vision, and to be able to tov lahodos l'Hashem, to give thanks to Hashem, Ashira, Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos, that's the goal of Shabbos. Ki bekoach emunam, double squiggly in 32, mitaleh adam adargas olam haba. Shabbos is about the emunah that we enter into the world of the next. And then we're able to sing Shira on everything that happens in creation. And to be able to understand that all that transpires in this world, Chesed u'Mishpat Ashira lach, I'm able to sing to Hashem. So in the times of challenges, in the times of Mishpat, our job is to see Chesed. Our job is to see chesed that others do. It brings out the best in people. And our job is to see the chesed abore, to be able to sing Shira for the small kindnesses to Hashem as well. When we take a look at the chesed aspect, the Shabbos, and then we'll talk about Rosh Chodesh right now, Mirtz Hashem, you see that Shabbos, which is all about closeness to Hashem, it's also a time to be able to evaluate or reevaluate the challenges that we have in life and be able to see them from the perspective of Shabbos, of Main Olam Haba, of Hakol, of turning on the light. And those challenges that we have are all part of a much larger picture. When I understand that larger picture, I can be Chesed u'Mishpat Ashira. I can be able to sing Shira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rosh Chodesh is equally a day which is a day of rejuvenation, a day of celebration. It's also a day that teaches us this very important lesson, that Chesed u'Mishpat are really walk hand in hand. Let's try to understand Rosh Chodesh a little bit deeper, Source 33. Notes the Ma'anat Chaim Ramatzitahu Salomon the following. He says, Kavod hu emsa'i shenivra kadesh ha'idon nivra'im tiyelam efsharu lakir v'lakishim akrabriya. Hashem created the world in order to give honor to Him, which is really the recognition that Hashem is found in this world. And it's really the recognition that Hashem wants to do and does kindness to all of creation. There are many different ways that Hashem gives over this message. And one of them is what we say every morning in Birkas Kriyat Shema, that Hashem is mechadish b'chol yom tamim ma'aseh bereishit, in the bracket of 33. Hashem rejuvenates creation every day. And we say, ka'amor, la'oseh orim gedolim kil olam chasto. And where do you see proof of this? We see it in the luminaries that Hashem created. Kil olam chasto, Hashem's kindness is forever. The ayidei ha'orim ha'orim ha'gedolim efshar lerot tamid echidosh habriyah. So on one level, this is a proof of how Hashem's mechadesh betufo, how Hashem rejuvenates creation. You take a look at the moon, it waxes and wanes, and you see that Hashem is continuously involved in the creation process. But on a much deeper level, my friends, it's enabled us to realize that kel mistater, that Hashem is hidden, and it's specifically in the times of hiddenness that you find that Hashem is found. And this is really what the challenge of Rosh Chodesh is about. Even the times when the moon isn't in its full glory, which is symbolically Kasher Yisrael Yehudim Umunim Begolas, that's Ramchal, when we are oppressed in Golos, we can get Chizuk by looking at the moon, knowing that it's not going to stay that way, that it waxes and wanes, and we are once again going to be able to be on top again. The Rosh Chodesh, the moon of Rosh Chodesh, reminds us that things aren't here forever, and that there's constant flow and constant change, and Hashem is behind all of this. Rabbi Kluger, in My Soul Desire, says, what is the inner significance of Rosh Chodesh? The end of the month is a time of darkness. Today, with lampposts in the streets, we don't feel it that much. But in the past, there was a big difference between the moonlight nights and the dark nights at the end of the month. On Rosh Chodesh the new moon's light first begins to reveal itself, then growing gradually with each passing day. The end of the month symbolizes a time of darkness and a hester when a Jew does not feel Hashem's closeness. A time when Hashem's control of the world is concealed. David HaMelech says in Tehillim, it's good to give thanks to Hashem, to tell in the morning your kindness and your faith at night. In the morning, during times of Hashem's revealed kindness, we must praise and thank Hashem for His kindness. At night, in times of darkness and concealment of Hashem's kindness, we require a moon of faith. It is precisely amidst the darkness that we strengthen our faith that Hashem is guiding us, even though we do not see it or feel it. This is our challenge right now, when the world is going through what it's going through. It's during these times of literal darkness to be able to have emunas chabalelos, to feel Hashem. This faith is those first rays of light that emerge from the darkness. A Jew of faith does not live in darkness anymore. He is connected to light. He connects to Ribono Shel Olam, even though Hashem's guiding hand is still concealed. He is attached to Hashem through his faith amidst the darkness. In the times of Mishpat, we hold on to the Chesed, and we're able to be Ashir Alach. The moon at the beginning of the month casts hardly any light. The night is still dark. But this barely visible sliver of light is the light of faith. Rosh Chodesh is a day of faith, a day that we reach the awareness that Hashem, who orchestrates the trying times in our life with divine providence in order to purify us and to bring about a greater revelation of Kol Shamayim. And hence, on the next page, he speaks about why the woman is likened to the moon, why we have, as the woman have at the holiday, Rosh Chodesh, the woman did not sin in Chet HaEgel, the woman has this koach of Emunah. The woman is likened to the moon. A woman's life consists of constant ups and downs. Her task is to believe that every low point in her life is directed to the Shkacha Prati from Hashem for the purpose of lifting her to greater heights of purity and holiness and deepening her relationship with her husband and family and Ribono Shel Olam. This is our challenge, that in the language of double squiggling 35 of Rav Masisyahu, mina ha'felo bokea, or from the darkness breaks forth light. And we have to be able to look at the moon and be able to see this aspect, that it's all dark. You just see a sliver. That's enough to hold on to of Emunah. And that's the understanding of what Rosh Chodesh is about, that even in times of Mishpat, you're able to see that little light. You're able to see the Chesed. And that's the challenge that we have to do. that Rosh Chodesh isn't just a time of joy, of rejuvenation, it's a time of reminding ourselves of this duality of Chesed and Mishpat, the way they work in our lives. I'd like to share with you a story that had such a profound effect on me. I generally shy away from Halakha stories. I find them very depressing, and I don't like depressing stories. Like, my family knows if it has a sad ending, don't tell Ima. She doesn't want to hear the story. Only if it has a happy ending. I can't handle sad stories. Having said that, this story is so profound, and I think part of the profoundness of this story is it has a different focus than most Holocaust heroine stories. You know, keeping Pesach and blowing the shofar, which are all fantastic. This has a different focus to it. And Rav Masasiyahu brings down, and I wrote the story here in 39, that any time Rav Chaim Shmulevitz would tell the story, he would begin to cry. And I don't see how you cannot. Tells of a Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, tell of a friend who he had in his younger days, who Lo Aleinu went through the war, five very, very hard years in the camps. And when Rav Chaim met him after the war, he asked him, how did you survive? Not how did you survive, but how did you survive with your emunah intact? Right? We know so many people went through the war and without blaming them. Right? Anyone who has a number is a kadosh. That's what the gedolim say. You know, we can't understand. And he asked him, and he said to him the following. He says, "Dalecha shomnam lachu mitan makol." Truth be told, is they took everything from us. Lo rak dvarim gashmim dova, not just our physical things. Elagam lachu mitan otavshur lekayim mitzvot lomol torah. They took away our ability to daven, ability even to say brachos, because the place wasn't clean enough that we're able to say a bracha. They took away everything from us. They stripped us of everything we had. In the bracket, davar achad lo haya b'yicholtam lakacha mitanu. But you know what? One thing they couldn't take away from us. V'hu et hayareach. They couldn't take away the moon. We would go out in the morning to the forest and we worked there all day until the night, and it was very hard work. We would come back at night, shvurim rutzim chasrei koach, without any strength left. And as we would walk back to the camp, there were those among us who were keeping track of when the new moon was. And they would look up and they would say, it's time to do Kiddush Levana. Women don't do Kiddush Levana. Kiddush Levana can be done to like the 11th, 12th day of the month, the beginning of the month, where there's special tefillos that are said to be Mekadesh, to sanctify the new moon. So news would get out that you can be Mekadesh, you can say Kiddush Levana. Ukishigia hazman hara'uli, when the appropriate time came, you just get shivers when you hear this. Avra hashmua ben hanashim, murmuring through the people, Kiddush Levana, Kiddush Levana. Efshar l'kadesh et levana, we can do Kiddush Levana. Mibli shiargisho shamim harim yimach shaman, without the guards yimach shaman feeling this. Tafas kol achad et yado et yad chaveiro b'cheshkas halayla. Right, and we know very much part of the Kiddush Levana is turning to people, shalom aleichem, shalom aleichem. It's about, you know, connecting together. So each one would grab the hand of the person in front of them, you know, marched online back. And in the dark of night, b'der chazara l'gehenem, going back to this gehenem of the camp, v'amarnu, and this is Kiddush Levana. Asher b'mamaro barash chakim, with his word he created the heavens, u'beruach piv kol tzva'am, and with his breath of his mouth he created all the hosts of heaven. Sasim v'smeichim lasot ritzon konam, and with rejoicing they do the will of Hashem. Poel emes shepuloso emes. Hashem is truth, his work is truth. Ululavana amar shetit chadesh atera tifera lamusei betem shem atidim litchadesh kemotam lufa'er liyotram al shem kvo machuso. And the Jewish people will be like the new moon. We will be able to be rejuvenated once again, that we will be able to bring glory to Hashem. And he says, for those 5 years that we were in the camp in this Gehenna, this gave us the ability to believe. When we said Kiddush Levana, we knew that just like the moon becomes full, we will once again become full again, and we'll be able to praise Hashem. Po'ol emes, shepu l'aso emes. Wow. Devout. Rabosai, this is our challenge. Our challenge is that within the Gehenna, within the ability of Mishpat, to the degree we can't even begin to fathom, to be able to see the Chesed, that one day, Chesed u'Mishpat Ashira, one day we will be able to get out of this and we will once again praise Hashem. And already in the Mishpat is the Chesed. Already in the Mishpat I'm able to believe and know emunascha b'leilot that it's going to be good. And this, my friends, is our challenge. Our challenge, as the Lekef Alibub notes in 41, is that when we go through challenges and tragedies and calamities in our lives, we have to awaken. We have to awaken ourselves and we have to change. We have to be able to hold on to these experiences, v'emunascha b'leilos. Okay, we don't have physical trumpets, but we have to wake ourselves up. And waking ourselves up is about coming closer to Hashem. It's about seeing Hashem's kindness and goodness in our lives. It's about acting in a kindness and goodness type of way. It's about not being complacent, but being able to respond appropriately. And knowing that these challenges are here to wake us up. Shviras Aleiv. And now we can appreciate the Rambam. What is the Rambam link? Blowing chatzotzot in war, which is a time of etzara, a time of challenge. Two, blowing the chatzotzot on times of joy, Shabbos, Yantif, and Rosh Chodesh, and the answer is, haynu hach, they're really one and the same, you can't make a distinction between them, and hence the Rambam links them together. When the Rambam links them together, he's saying is that both in times of war, as in times of goodness, you're able to find the motifs of both. Because they're all coming from Hashem. And this, my friends, is what we say in the Shema every day. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu. Shema Yisrael, listen Yisrael. Hashem, Hashem is Yudkei Vavkei Midas HaRachamim. The aspect of kindness. Elokim, Elokeinu, Midas HaDin is justice. Hashem Elokeinu, I have Chesed U'Mishpat. But let me tell you, Hashem Echad, it's all coming from one divine source of goodness. Ashira Lach, I will sing praise to you. This is our challenge, to be able to see the Hashem Elokeinu is Hashem Echad. It's the oneness of Hashem. And hence, my friends, as a concluding idea, when we take a look at this pasuk of blowing the chatzotros on Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh festivals, this happens to be the last of the 10 psukim that we say in Shofros of Rosh Hashanah. And perhaps this is a mindset that we need to have when we say this pasuk. That when we take a look at this pasuk on the first level, it's about coronating Hashem as king, and hence it's such an appropriate pasuk for Rosh Hashanah, that I'm able to recognize that Hashem is king over this world, and my job is Yom HaZikaron, to remember Him, to bring down His kingship into this world, to coronate Him, and to be able to realize that I am accountable to His will, and I'm here on earth to serve Him as an Eved Naaman, as a loyal servant. And that, my friends, is the motif of this pasuk. However, on a deeper level, whenever a person looks at the world and sees the palace on fire of Schwab, be it as a result of natural disasters, and natural is in quotations, such as earthquakes, hurricanes, tornadoes, or tsunamis, or when the wicked prosper and evildoers succeed and dwell in peace while the righteous suffer, God forbid, and we may say this house has no master, that the world runs randomly with no plan or design, against this backdrop comes the obligation of the Jew to believe with complete faith that seems to be chaos in this reality is that what seems to be chaos is in reality direct, unquestionable will of God. One must know that Hashem is the king of the world and that His thoughts are not our thoughts. And then when we look at what goes on in this world on Rosh Hashanah, we have to remind ourselves that that whole list of Nisan HaTokef, remember, ki atahu melech kel chai v'kayam, that Hashem is the everlasting God. And we have to be able to realize that Shema Yisrael, which is the last pasuk of Malchios, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, is the motif that we have in this Shofros as well, is that when I look at this world and I blow the Shofros on Shabbos, on Rosh Chodesh, and on Yom Tov, and yes, there are times of joy, and at the same time, they have to be able to strengthen within us that the times I don't see joy, at the times that appears to me as chaos, Hashem is equally there as a king running this world. And the two aren't separate. It's Chesed u'mishpat ashirulach. And on Rosh Hashanah, we have to be able. And that's why we end seven times on Yom Kippur at this period. Hashem hu Elokim. Hashem is the Elokim. The justice in this world is coming from Hashem. It's coming from the Yudke Vavke. It's coming from a place of kindness. And this, my friends, is the challenge that we have, particularly in the times that we have right now, to be able to triumph with these trumpets, to be able to be Chesed u'Mishpat Ashir Lach.